So I have a little word. Maybe it's not a real big word, but I want to write one on the board here. So I'd like to, for us to think about being tenacious. Did I spell it right?
I have no
idea. Okay. If you think I didn't spell it right, I'll change some letters around. But I looked the word tenacious up in the dictionary, and I have a definition I'd like to read for you. It says, holding fast or inclined to hold fast. Inclined to retain what is in possession as men tenacious of their just rights. All right. Also means retentive. Apt to retain long what is committed to it as a tenacious memory. So, I wonder when I write a word like that on a board, I wonder if you think, well, I wonder what that has to do with being a Christian. Because many times we think of being a Christian and living for God as humility, being submissive, and being in subjection. And it is. It is humbling ourselves before the Lord. And it is realizing that within ourselves, we can't do it. We can't pay the price. We can't meet God's expectations without His help, without His drawing us to Himself. So I'd just like for us to think about, or allow me to help us think this morning a little bit about the attribute of being tenacious that we ought to have a little bit. Over in Judges, I believe it is, I'd like to turn there, and there's a lot of other things in this particular chapter that we're not going to even attempt to get into, but I'd like to try to paint us a picture of what tenacious means. In Judges, the 20th chapter, and the 16th verse, this is always something that has stood out to me. It says, among all this people, and there had been some numbers given of how many there were from this tribe and that tribe that were prepared to be warriors and all that. And he said, among all this people, there were 700 chosen men left-handed. Everyone could sling stones at a hairbreadth and not miss. So we have some real specific details. 700 men, that's a significant number, left-handed. And I'm presuming that being left-handed was a little bit on the unique side then, just like it is today. All right? So 700 left-handed men being able to throw a stone within a hair's breadth and not miss. So a hair's breadth. Do y'all know how much a hair is if you measure it? 2/1000ths of an inch. Take a bunch of them to make an inch. So a hair is really, really small. But to throw a stone, not a perfectly sized marble or perfectly sized piece of lead, but a stone. To throw a stone within a hair's breadth, but not just randomly, but not miss. You know, I don't feel like this was just some kind of superhuman ability that people done without taking conscious thought and effort. All right? So I want us to think about how do you get, it don't matter if you're left or right-handed. I'm just saying that left-handed would be more unique because that's not the dominant hand, okay? So, but even if you was right-handed, to throw a stone within a hair's breadth and not miss takes a lot of practice. It takes a lot of stone throwing. It takes a lot of purpose. It takes someone being tenacious and being determined not to give up in their goal, in their objective. I want to be accurate. You know, I've thrown some rocks in my life. Probably when I was younger, I threw some rocks I shouldn't have thrown. And all of us here have thrown, but how, I wouldn't even begin to say that I'm accurate with my stone throwing. I never have felt talented when it comes to playing softball and baseball. I never have felt confident in my ability to throw the ball with enough force to get it to the point that it ought to go. And I've always been a little leery if it's going to go in the direction I want it to go. All right? So I'm not one of these people. But I'm going to tell you, to get there, for me to get to this point, I would have to be tenacious. And so I read this verse for us to kind of get the idea for anybody to get to the place that they can throw a stone, whether you're right-handed or left-handed, to me, that's beside the point. But to be able to throw a stone within a stone's hair's breadth, that is a very, very tight margin. Sometimes we get specifications for something, and a machinist generally has tolerances, and they'll be given a spec, and maybe they're supposed to machine something to, let's say, a half inch. That's 500 thousandths. And the tolerance might be plus or minus one thousandths. That's pretty close. But what if you get one that says plus zero minus a half? That's really close. All right? So it can be 0.500 or nothing above, or it could be 0.495. That's it. It's got to be somewhere, or 0.4995. I'm sorry, I said that wrong. You don't have much tolerance. So to throw a stone, something that's most likely irregular in size and shape, when you take a rifle or something and you go from 180 grains to 200 grains, it affects your accuracy at a long distance. And to be able to throw something, somebody throw me a stone that's weighs 4 ounces, and the next one weighs 6 ounces, and the next one is 7 ounces, and they're all different shapes, and to be able to throw those within a hair's breadth and not miss, I'm going to tell you, someone had to be tenacious about their accuracy. All right, so that's the point I want us to get a hold of. I think about, too, some of us probably have observed maybe a dog or a cat that has caught something, and maybe they're planning on eating it for lunch. Maybe you've seen a cat catch a pretty good-sized rat, or maybe it's a little rabbit or something like that. We've had some cats that would catch a rabbit once in a while, and they might drag it up to the house, and even though I'm pretty sure that animal is not going to move, they might lay there and have their paw over on that animal. They're not willing for that thing to get away at all. And if it makes the slightest movement, they're right on it. So I'm thinking about the type of earnestness. I'm using this word tenacious this morning because I want us to get a hold of this this energy, this focus, determination to hold fast, or be inclined to hold fast. I believe we ought to have that in our Christian experience. I'm not willing to become complacent or just careless or neglectful in my relationship with the Lord. I want to be, and I want us all to be tenacious in our relationship with the Lord. So I'd like to go to Genesis now, the 32nd chapter, and notice this story of Jacob. We read a verse of this yesterday, but I'd like to read a few more verses today. Beginning in verse 22, and he says, he rose up that night and took his two wives and his two women servants and his 11 sons and passed over the ford Jabbok. And he took them and sent them over the brook and sent over that he had. And Jacob was left alone, and there wrestled a man with him until the breaking of the day. And when he saw that he had prevailed not against him, he touched the hollow of his thigh, and the hollow of Jacob's thigh was out of joint as he wrestled with him. And he said, "Let me go, for the day breaketh." And he said, "I will not let thee go, except thou bless me." And he said unto him, "What is thy name?" And he said, "Jacob." And he said, "Thy name shall be called no more Jacob, but Israel. For as a prince thou hast power with God and with men, and hast prevailed." And Jacob asked him and said, "Tell me, I pray thee, thy name." And he said, "Wherefore is it that thou dost ask after my name?" And he blessed him there. And Jacob called the name of the place Peniel, "For I have seen God face to face, and my life is preserved." So I'm thinking about Jacob here, and he was obviously facing a very unknown situation here, didn't know the outcome. He was very in earnest about knowing, getting a hold of God for this particular situation. And he'd sent the gifts on over ahead to his brother that had told him that he was going to take his life, and it was no idle threat. Esau had fully intended to take Jacob's life. And all of those factors were in place, and Jacob was going back, and he was facing the failures in the past. He was facing the severed relationships, and he was going back to face it the best way he knew how. He had got the report that Esau was coming to meet him with 400 armed men. And I'm sure they were not just herdsmen, but they were soldiers. They were intent on doing battle, and they were intent on being victorious. And Jacob knew that he was coming up against something that wasn't going to be easy. So as he went back, I feel like he wanted some time to make connection with God himself. And as he began to seek the Lord, I don't know all that happened, but it just says, it's interjected here that after he had taken his wives and family and all of his possessions and sent them on ahead, it says that Jacob was left alone, and there wrestled a man with him. We take this as being an angel from the Lord, and was it a physical? Apparently, it was a physical wrestling endeavor, because he wrestled, and the hollow of his thigh was out of joint. I can't imagine wrestling until the break of day, anyway. But to wrestle with my leg out of joint, and the pain and discomfort and all of that paints a very, very strenuous situation. It was painful. It was uncomfortable. But I'm thinking, and I want us to get a hold of here, the tenacity that Jacob had. He was holding fast. It says he wouldn't let go. The angel said, "Let me go, turn me loose." And he said, "I won't do it. I won't do it. I will not turn you loose. I gotta have something to meet what's ahead of us in life. And you know, we're gonna be in those places from time to time. And sometimes we feel like we don't ever get out of that place. It's just like one episode after another. I don't know what to do. I don't know how to go about this. I'm overwhelmed. I'm overcharged. All of those things. I know. Because I'm there. I've been there myself. I've been there where I feel like I don't know what to do next. I don't know what the right answer is. I feel like I've got to have some kind of divine inspiration just for the thing that's right in front of me. And this was right in front of Jacob. And he said, I will not let you go. He was being tenacious, was he not? I will not let you go. I will not turn loose. I will not let go of this. I have got to have something. I need a blessing. Have you ever been there where you needed a blessing? I have. I need a blessing, Jacob said. I need something to be able to face my brother with, this situation with my brother. So he held on. Even after he had physical pain, after it looked like, you know, he was really no match for, we're no match for an angel of the Lord. We're no match for something in that. We're not even in the same operating sphere. You know, if someone can just, an angel that could touch me and cause my leg to be out of joint or cause us to go blind or what. I'm not in that realm. I can't do that. He had all of the advantages over Jacob. And Jacob said, I will not let you go. That is what I feel like is the definition of tenacity, of being tenacious. We're going to meet things that has the upper hand on us. We're not really a match for it, but I'm not willing to cave in. I'm not willing to turn loose. I'm not willing to let go. I need some help here. All right? So, Jacob was desperate, and many times desperation makes us tenacious. So I'd like to look now in Romans, the 8th chapter. I want us to think about our individual relationship with the Lord and our efforts to be a genuine Christian in the world that we live in. The 8th chapter of Romans is one of my favorite places to turn to. There's a lot of verses in here that's very, very special to me. The verses I'm going to read to you today are the verses that were the first verses that I feel like God ever really gave to me. You know, you hear that phrase sometimes. Where somebody may say in a testimony, the Lord give me a scripture. Well, this is the first time in my life. I was a very young man, probably about 13 or 14 years old, and the Lord give me some scripture. And before we go on with this, I want to give us just a little background. Before the 8th chapter of Romans, we have obviously 5th, 6th, and 7th chapters. And we have it's a protracted dialogue here in discourse. The Apostle Paul gives us about the conflict of sin and everyday life. And he talks about how sin just gets... it's just more and more, and then he tells us, if we look, I believe in the first part of the 6th chapter, he says there's no condemnation. In the first part of the 6th chapter, he says, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? And in the 7th chapter, we have the setting where the Apostle Paul goes into how it was before he truly had an experience with the Lord. He wanted to do the right thing, and yet he couldn't keep from doing the wrong thing, and he was in such a dilemma in his own mind and in his own heart. And in the 8th chapter, he talks about there is therefore now, his present state, no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. We read down through in the 8th chapter about us being adopted, being accepted as a child of God and a joint heir with Jesus Christ. And those things are so exceptionally valuable to me. And I was in a place in my life where I felt like my world was caving in on me. And you know, you don't have to be 50 for you to feel like your life is caving in. You don't have to hit a midlife crisis or anything like that. There are people, young people, and I told you I was 13 or 14. I don't remember exactly, but young people all around us today feel like that life is caving in on them, and there's not much hope and all of that. But I want to tell you, if we can get a hold of the tools that will help us in the Lord, I believe we can make it. And I was at that place in my life. Not that I was contemplating taking my life or anything like that. I just felt like life wasn't worth much. The joy had left. And I was probably thinking thoughts that were more mature than my age at the time. But anyway, I was earnest and sincere about endeavoring to live for the Lord at the time. And I opened my Bible, and I was at the place like Jacob was, where I said, Lord, I need something to help me. I need something to stabilize me. And so I turned to this 8th chapter of Romans and opened up. It says here in verse 35, beginning, it says, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. And when I read those verses, it seemed like the Lord witnessed to me that he was speaking to me. There didn't have to be anything that was happening in my life or would ever happen in my life that would need to separate me from God. So I want us to recognize today that if we are determined, if we have the tenacity, if we are tenacious enough about our experience, I'm not going to turn it loose. I am not going to lay it down. I am not going to allow the enemy to snatch my relationship with him away from me. And if I am determined I'm not going to do that, the Lord will make a way for us. We can be determined. We can be like Jacob was, and we may face some things and we don't know what's going to materialize. We don't know how it's going to develop. But we can say, Lord, by your grace, I'm not going to turn loose. I am not going to allow death or life or angels or principalities or powers or things present or things to come. I'm not going to let height nor depth nor any other creature separate us. I am going to hold it fast. I am not going to let go. Just like Jacob said, I'm not turning you loose. I'm not going to let you go. I am not going to allow this avenue that I've got a hold of. I'm not going to let it get away from me until I get the blessing that I need. So I want to challenge us this morning. This is my message. I want us to be challenged this morning to not turn loose and not to let go. I don't know what you're facing as an individual today, but I'm guessing that you face some things just like I, you face things that just seem to knock the wind out of you. It's been a long time since something has knocked my wind out. You know what I'm talking about. But when I was in school, I know this is not, I don't know, the right thing to do, all right? But it seemed like when I was in school, there were the guys, that was the thing that they capital, if they could catch somebody off guard and hit them in the stomach and knock their wind out, that was something that they just thought was lots of fun. I mean, anybody, I don't know if anybody else ever had that experience, but so I had people that would hit me in the stomach at the most inopportune time a lot of times in school. And I had it happen to me. It's not funny. I mean, you feel like you can't get any air. And I don't know what happens to your body, but for some reason your lungs are deflated or something. And I know that there are things in life that take the wind out of us. We might get a phone call in the middle of the night. You might have got one last night. I hope not. But you might have, we might get some breaking news. Some, we may find out about it from a third person, and it's some kind of development that we don't want to happen, and it's just like, we just feel like an empty sack. Just feel like we're pulling it, just pulls the air out of us. So I want us to be challenged this morning to be tenacious enough not to throw in the towel. Don't give up. Don't allow the heights or the depths, the angels. I don't think that's God's angels either. The principalities, the powers. Don't allow the distresses or the persecution. Don't allow the famine or the nakedness or the peril or the sword. Don't allow those things to cause you to turn loose and to let go. I want us to be like that. I want us to be like Jacob. I want us to be like the one that is unwilling to allow it to get out of our hands. I want us to be tenacious enough to continue to cultivate our relationship to where there can become accuracy, where others recognize they know how to get a hold of the Lord. They know how to rise above their troubles and their distresses. I want to be there. I don't feel like that I've been some stellar example. I feel like I've got much room for improvement. And I want to be there where others would feel that he knows how to get a hold of the Lord. He knows how to lift his head up in the face of trouble, in the face of discouragement, because we're all going to face that. We're all going to face it. And I believe that, not that we are pulling ourselves up by our own bootstraps, but we have to be tenacious to not let go of our experience, to not let go of the thing that, although it looks like it's hurting us, you know, it seemed like that Jacob was being injured by the one he was wrestling with. But he said, I'm not turning you loose. I'm not going to let you go until you get the blessing. And I want to challenge you this morning to be tenacious enough to keep your experience with the Lord alive. Keep it to where it'll pay you dividends. It'll be a blessing to you. Jacob got his name changed to Israel. He went forward and was able to face his brother. And instead of fighting, what happened? They fell on each other's necks and wept. There was a relationship that was restored there. Do you think it would have happened if he hadn't have been tenacious enough to say, I will not let you go until you bless me? I don't think it would have happened. And you know, I don't believe that we'll have the victories that's possible if we don't really hold on. So maybe you'll be encouraged today to hold on. Be tenacious about your experience with the Lord, and I believe there's a blessing that'll come with it. You pray for me.